reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Old Testament reading is found in your Bibles on page 707 in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 20. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is the father of a son, yet has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away with his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be a good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 4. It's found on page 1285 in your pew Bibles. We read Hebrews 4 beginning at verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way: God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, and again he points to a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, found on page 1082 in your pew Bibles. And we read Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is taken from your gospel reading, where Jesus tells his apostles, who said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." This is our text. A certain man was praying to God for a new suit, but he didn't want just any suit. He'd heard about the special qualities of a wool suit, but not just any kind of wool suit. You see, there's different kind of wools. There's virgin wool, the first wool that comes from the first shearing of a lamb. That's better than other wools. And then you have to twist wool in a certain way to make the best cloth. You know, cheaper grades of wool only have like 60 to 80 twists. The finer wools have like 120, even 150 twists. So he's praying to God, "God, I really would like to have a wool suit with a silk lining. What do I have to do to get that?" God says to him, "Well, you know, those suits are kind of expensive. You know, you're going to have to get a good job, and you're going to have to save up a lot of money if you want a suit like that." And he says, "I already done that. I've been saving for years. I have a couple of thousand dollars stashed away for a beautiful suit. And God says to him, well, you know, if you're going to buy a suit like that, well, there's no real point if it doesn't fit well. You can't just buy a suit like that off the rack. You're going to have to get a tailor. The guy says, well, I've been researching that. I have found one of the best tailors in the world. He makes suits for all the big stars. He even makes the president's suits. He's the best tailor in the world. God says, well, you're going to have to find a source for the wool you want in that suit. You know, all wools aren't the same. You need to find where you can buy the best wool in the world. The guy says, I have found a dealer who has the finest wool in all the world. And God says, well, just one other thing. You have to create a sheep. And the man went away sad, never got his suit, because he didn't know how to make a sheep. Kind of a ridiculous story, I know. But it's really the context that Jesus' words for today come from. Except the man wasn't trying to get a suit. He was trying to figure out, what must I do in order to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, if you want to know what you have to do to get eternal life, keep the commandments. And he said, well, you know, I've done all that. I've honored my father and mother. I don't murder. I don't steal. He was a very rich man. He trusted in his wealth. He didn't know how to depend on other people. So then Jesus says, okay, you only need one more thing here. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And the man went away sad, disheartened, with great sorrow in his heart. For he both had great possessions, and it was beyond his ability to grasp that even if he sold everything he had, a God would take care of him. And that, in point of fact, everything he had was already the gift of God. You know, I presume because you're here today, that eternal life is a blessing that you have received from the hand of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I don't think when you pray about eternal life that you say, God, what do I have to do to get it? Because you come here on a regular basis and you bow your heads and you confess your sins. And then you receive God's forgiveness as a free gift. We know these things when it comes to the subject matter of eternal life. But in many other ways, I believe, when we approach God in prayer, we still end up making the same error that rich man made. Who, when he wanted to know what God would do for him in eternal matters, his question was phrased, Lord, what must I do? Have you ever gone to God in prayer and said, Lord, I've got a big problem. What am I going to do? I think we probably all have done that. And I think when God hears that kind of prayer coming from our heart or our lips, His response is to tell us exactly what we have to do to solve the problem. And when we hear it, we feel overwhelmed. Lord, I can't do that. It's too much. I'm at the breaking point already. I can't handle one more thing. Well, you asked me what you'd have to do. The disciples heard Jesus' response to the rich man. And how Jesus described the difficulty that people have in finding eternal life. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with Him. Lord, what am I going to do? It's the wrong question to ask of God. The right question is, Lord, help me, because I can't do it. And when we pray that, God hears, and He does answer. But often when God does answer our prayers, when we pray like that, it's not through things that we are unfamiliar with. He doesn't rip open heaven and just drop something into our laps. Most often the things that are answers to our prayers are all around us. Maybe even sitting right next to us. But because we've been so focused on what do I have to do, that we haven't looked about us and haven't asked how someone can help me in my time of need. I know my own family life of late with weddings and other difficult and that's a great thing, but weddings going on and a lot of health difficulties in our family. At times, it's been overwhelming. One of the things I came to realize is that one person can't do it all. But thankfully, God has surrounded our family with a multitude of resources. And even if they weren't there, there is another family. It's called the Church of God. And God surrounds us with other things, people we know at work, friends, neighbors, professionals. In our times of need, be it health, financial difficulty, relationships. God surrounds us constantly with resources, but so seldom do we reach out and use those resources. Because we're so focused on what we have to do. One of the things I know in terms of relational problems, one of the first times I generally speaking hear that some couple is going to be getting a divorce is after they've already filed. Gee, you think they'd have asked for help? But unfortunately, that's usually the last thing that couples do. And it's not only true in relationships, it's true in so many aspects of our life. We're just like that rich guy who goes up to Jesus. Lord, what do I have to do? And God obliges our question, and he tells us what we have to do to solve our own problems. The problem is, we can't do it. As we confess regularly, we are poor, miserable sinners, and by our life, all we deserve is temporal, meaning here in time, and eternal punishment. The prayer that God begs us to pray, the prayer that he answers, is simply this: Lord, help me, for I am helpless. Lord, show me the way. Help me to ask. Help me to lean on others and on you. And though I cannot do it all, though it's impossible for me to do it, I know that all things are possible with you. And when God hears that prayer, he will answer. He will do so during our earthly life. And when his plan and purposes are complete for our earthly life, he will still answer that prayer and take us home to be with him in heaven. Let us not ask, Lord, what am I going to do? But let our prayer be, Lord, what can you do? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.